Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. I'd like to welcome back to the program now Rick O'Donovan. He is a musician. He's a multi-instrumentalist, a singer-songwriter. He was here at the Santa Fe Baking Company a couple of years ago, and he's back in Santa Fe this weekend. Tonight, he's playing at Back Road Pizza on 2nd Street at 7:30, and then tomorrow night, he is doing something which we'll be talking about, which is playing the music for a silent film by Greta Garbo at Candyman Little Wing. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. It's nice to be sitting here across the table from you again, You've got a few converts in Nashville, Tennessee, and listening via the wonderful technology of the internet.
I love it.
But it is nice to be here back at this great cafe.
It's good to have you. Now, you've been on the road, and it must be interesting for you as a touring musician to come back to certain cities over and over again. You're building up an audience.
It's nice, and I really, really love Santa Fe. I love coming through here. The visual art is phenomenal. Let's face it, it's the place to go. For me, you know, and Canyon Road, I did an afternoon there yesterday and just soaked up the visual art.
Yeah.
I guess for somebody that's stuck in the audio world, it's just I admire it.
Now, you are a multi-instrumentalist, which means you play an instrument which we have sitting here in the Baking Company right now, which is called a hammer dulcimer. And we'll talk about what that instrument is in a moment. What are some of the instruments that you play?
Guitar, and recently getting into four-stringed instruments like mandocello, mandolin. Just before I split town a few months back, left Nashville, I picked up a tenor guitar, which is a four-stringed animal. And
is it tuned like a guitar?
It can be tuned like the bottom four strings of a guitar. Myself, I tune it like a mandolin. Mandolins are tuned in the same as a fiddle or a banjo. And I'm a better tenor guitarist in that tuning because I play I'm more familiar with the layout. So you can opt several different ways on it, but I love the mandolin tuning because I already know tunes on, so I don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Right. And you play a mandolin, I have to say, that is very dear to my heart.
Yeah. Yeah, I am so glad to put music through that thing again. It's wonderfully, it needed no work. It holds tune.
It was, my father died when I was a teenager, and he was a mandolin player. And I could not bear to part with his mandolin, even though I don't play it. So a couple of years ago when Rico was in town, I lent him my father's mandolin, which hadn't been played in many years. And I'm so glad it's being played. I think instruments like to be played.
Yeah, yeah. It's not only play, but folks should get onto my website or YouTube and find it on a video called This Is Not the Night. And it's the mandolin is I want to say it's one of the stars of the video, so it's pretty prominent. And so, if you want to look it up, it's a beautiful Italian made mandolin from 1962. Actually,
is it really?
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
You know more about it than I do.
Yeah, you look at the label and then you Google and you look around. And who I always like to know who made this. What's their story? And that's the origin, and it's a beautiful instrument, and thanks once again for putting that into the Donovan pool. It's just, it made a lot of my record, too. It was on quite a number of tracks of Lucky Sevens. So.
Now, Lucky Sevens is your new CD.
Yeah, relatively new. It's 2009, so okay. I've been touring with it for a while, but it still feels new to me as many times as I have heard it and so forth.
And you're singing and playing various instruments on it and also have other musicians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually had the pleasure of having Michael Cott, the cellist that few of your listeners might know about. He's more local. And Michael played cello on a track, and that was really wonderful. He and I did about 4 weeks on the road together last year through New Mexico and Arizona and Colorado. And he's for those of you who don't know, he often goes by the chillest instead of the cellist. But he's well liked and
as
and
in let's chill.
Yeah, yeah. which really aptly describes him, because when I play with Michael, we don't have to rehearse, and I think anyone that's played music with him knows what I'm talking about, is nodding their heads right now. But he just has an antenna, and he just says, play the song. And he's just that good. He's classically trained. He's folk, plays all manner of music, but mainly he just has a great pair of ears. And so you don't rehearse. It's very low maintenance. And I missed riding shotgun with him this time, but next spring we're going to have a powwow and get our itineraries together a little better.
Now let's talk about this beautiful instrument called the hammer dulcimer. What is it?
It is an instrument that has its origin in Persia, Mesopotamia, what is now the Middle East, Iraq, really. And it began there as a santur. This particular instrument we're looking at right now has 58 strings that are strung across two bridges, and so essentially it is a zither. It's a bored zither, and it's also the precursor to the piano. The difference being that with a piano, you push down a key, and underneath that big board, you see it, underneath the wood on a piano, a hammer is hitting a string. In this case, the player holds the hammers and plays the strings.
And the strings are doubled, so when you hit them with the little hammer, you just get the same pitch, but twice,
yeah.
So you get a little more volume.
Right, and it's the same concept as a mandolin. Mandolin would be eight strings and tuned doubled, so it gives it part of its unique sound is through that. And this particular one, I love when folks come up after a gig, and they're curious, and I love to just, you know, stand there and stick around and talk to them about it. But they'll say, where does this come from? And I say, it comes from this exotic place far away called Arlington, Texas. So the builder of this, great builder, Randy, made it in the good old state of Texas.
Now you play, there's a lot of different kinds of music that are played on the hammer dulcimer, and we're going to hear two selections. One of them that you were playing before we started is a kind of a Hungarian piece.
Yeah, it's a waltz from Hungary. So it's in keeping with the genealogy of the other half of me. I'm half Irish and half Hungarian, which is the gypsy element is the Hungarian element, and whatever the silly side or I do joke a lot, but I guess that's the Irish blood. But I'm pretty much when I lived in Ireland, I was a very strict traditional Irish musician aspect, but I'm really trying to learn folk music from all over the world just to keep life interesting.
Why don't we hear some music played on the hammer dulcimer?
Okay. Maybe I'll jump in that Hungarian waltz. Thank you.
Rick O'Donovan playing the hammer dulcimer. So you lived in Ireland for a while, and what were you playing? What were you studying? What were you doing?
I had this European existence where I would live in Madrid, Spain during the winter, and I was teaching English and doing gigs mostly on the mainland in Spain. Occasionally I'd jump over to Holland or somewhere like this during the winter. And in the summer months, it was just fast and furious busyness for Irish trad, and I quickly kind of...
Irish trad, traditional.
Yeah, traditional, uh-huh. And in a place called Listinvarna, County Clare, and Doolin is one of the hot spots for traditional music. So I they used to call me Two over there because, two reasons. After 9/11, when tourism had suffered a bit, particularly with Americans traveling abroad, the publicans, whereas before they would book trios and quartets to perform in the pubs, they were trying to pinch a little bit their budgets, and they loved people that could do more than one thing. And I was called Two on that account because I could sing and play guitar, and then I could jump over to the dulcimer and play dance tunes.
They should have called you Three.
Yeah. But the main reason was that normally part of the compensation at a gig is for a Guinness, and I was what you might call a lightweight. And I during the course of an evening, I would go through just the two pints. So some of the musicians said that's why they hire you, because they know you're not going to drink them out of their inventory.
We're talking to Rick O'Donovan. So you are also doing something which I find fascinating, which is playing incidental music? No, the music for a silent film, a Greta Garbo film called The Temptress.
Mm-hmm.
That's on Saturday night at the Candyman Little Wing right here in Santa Fe. First of all, you seem to have a great passion for Greta Garbo.
Yeah, and it's kind of extended itself into... These are probably names that they're slipping away into history, but Lillian Gish, Mary Pickford, Chaplin, John Gilbert, Valentino, even I can tolerate him sometimes. But it's just like you get interested in one star or one musician, and it opens up a world sometimes, and then there's trouble. But Garbo particularly fascinates me because, she's really the only silent star that had tremendous success during the silent era and didn't have her career ruined by the talkies. She actually had equal success as a talking film actress. What you're going to see Saturday night, obviously, will be the silent Garbo. I recently had the, not very recently, but about a year ago, I had the pleasure of meeting Gore Vidal he was a guest of Vanderbilt, and there was the nature of the evening was largely political, obviously. And at the end of the evening, on the reception line, my friend Kathy, who's standing in front of me, introduced me as, "Oh, Rico's a Garbo fan." And Gore heretofore had kind of a serious look. It was serious stuff we were talking about, the Bush years and so forth. But his face just lit up, because he was one of Garbo's handful of trusted friends. When she went into the reclusive part of her life, he was one of the people that she would answer the telephone for. He was very close to her. And I think it made his night in a way. It kind of brought the heaviness out of the...
Well, and when there's a person one or two generations younger than he who is into the stars of his time, that's really something.
Garbo had something, and I think she said to her nephew once, and there'll never be another me. And it's in the same way, I think she meant it very matter-of-factly. But the other thing that Gore said to me was, he said she could say everything with her eyes. You didn't need dialogue. And that's something that folks will see, I think, if they come out Saturday, that the story, in many respects, dialogue changed film forever. But there's a different art to it in the silent era. It's about images and Garbo could speak with her eyes. You really didn't need even the intertitles to know what's going on. So,
when you play the music, is it something that you have written? Is it something that you're not improvising it?
Right. There's a little room to make every presentation just a little different. But essentially, it's timelined. There's an element of sound effect that is just there for the entertainment value. When I go see some live accompaniment, I love when it's obviously takes hours, actually a lot of hours, to sit down with the film and sync up and compose and make a soundtrack to it. So this is improvisational enough to make it unique every night and make it fun for me. But I do have a foundation to work off of, and that's.
And it's on the hammer dulcimer?
Yeah, I'll be using the dulcimer with hand percussion, shaker, and Doombeck drum and guitar, and a device called a looper. For the uninitiated, it's a way that I can layer sound and build up and play several instruments on top of each other. So the loop kind of builds the texture of the sound, and I think that's a little more work for me, but worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose this would qualify as a bona fide lost art accompanying silent films.
Yeah, and it used to be a necessity, because when films were screened, there was an organist or there was a pianist. And also something that folks may not be aware of, there were on the set while they were shooting, there were mood setting musicians. Often string quartets would set the mood. If it's a sad scene, they would play something sad to get the actor and actress in the mood. And if it were a dance or something, that gets, they had to play a waltz. But so there was a lot of music going on also during the production of these films.
Very interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
When you're doing the accompaniment to the film, on the one hand you want to do a good job, but on the other hand, you kind of want to be invisible or not draw attention to yourself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like the highest compliment that could be paid is, ironically enough, I forgot you were there. I want people to forget that I'm there, and then I've done my job. So luckily, I've heard that a few times over the last month, and this will be the fourth time. Actually, this will be time number four for me to do this. I'm touring primarily for my singer-songwriter, and that's going on Friday night at the Back Road Pizza. But I've had some really wonderful conversations after this event. People, but the nicest thing I like to hear is, God, we just got completely wrapped up in the film, and when they say they forget I'm there, it means that I'm providing the mood and I'm syncing up correctly. So,
now we want to hear one more piece before we have to go.
Okay, and we're going to listen to a piece from the 18th century blind itinerant Irish harpist Turlough Carolyn, and it's called the Morgan Megan. Thank you.
Rick O'Donovan is going to be at Backroad Pizza tonight at 7:30, and tomorrow night he will be at the Candyman Little Wing here in Santa Fe also at 7:30. Tonight playing music, tomorrow night accompanying the Greta Garbo film The Temptress. Rico, it's great to have you back on the show. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. Big pleasure.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasa Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us here every Friday speaking of the arts.
Good
welcome.
Morning. Good morning.
And Jesse Hummingbird is joining us. He is the illustrator of the new book, Native American Night Before Christmas. Welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So this is a very sweet book. It's one of hundreds of takeoffs of the traditional Night Before Christmas, or versions of it. This is the Native American version. How did this come about?
Well, I do think it's like the 850th version, but the author approached several other people, other artists, if they were interested in working with them, and they all kind of passed, and I think he let it lay for a while, and one of the persons that ran a museum, that was director of a museum in L.A., said, well, talk to Jesse, he'll do about anything, and so he came, and I said, well, how difficult are you to work with, a prima donna, or will I have some freedom? And turned out Gary's just a wonderful person and a pleasure to work with.
You just asked him straight out, are you a prima donna?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm getting to be an old man, and so there's some privilege that comes with that.
Right.
And so it comes with, among other things, a glossary of some of the terms that people may not know.
Well, part of Gary's idea is to take a bit of Indian culture, and this is really a Plains version of this story, and introduce a broader population to some of the Indian parts of the world. And so some of these terms wouldn't be understood or relevant to the main group we're trying to reach, like all my relations. That means everything, earth, sky, each other. When he says goodnight, all my relations, he's saying goodnight to everything. And when Gary gives a reading, he always starts with the glossary with the little kids.
What's interesting is, for those of us living in New Mexico, we probably know just about everything in it, including fry bread.
Exactly. It's the broad res culture.
Right.
You know, a mainstream Indian res culture.
And the reindeer or buffalo.
Yeah. We actually had to change two names. Well, Gary did. Two of the names were Good Hopi names, and it was determined that the kids probably couldn't handle them. Some of my best friends I called Jerry Q and things like that, because I just can't say them either.
So when you do something like this, you're looking to some extent, traditional Native art, and to some extent, children's book illustration, kind of combining those?
Yeah, and if you see my everyday, daily work, a lot of people that come into my booth or see an exhibit of my work, and there will be like 14 pieces at Silver Sun Gallery tonight. Most of the comments are, this would be great for children, and I reply, well, I paint for the children and all of us, that we shouldn't outgrow that, liking simple, bright, you know, fun things.
What kind of art do you do when you're not illustrating books?
I paint. I'm a Indian artist, if you will. I call myself an Indian painter. Canvas mainly, and they used to be very geometrical, flat, and I did that for about 5 to 8 years, and now I've just taken those colors, and I decided I want to tell more stories, and I'm going back to softening the features and making the people more readily identified as human.
So you will be tonight from 5 to 7 here in Santa Fe at the Silver Sun Gallery at 656 Canyon Road, and presenting this book, and your paintings will be there. And then tomorrow you will be at the ARC Bookstore here in Santa Fe from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. And then Sunday at Bookworks. That's at 11 o'clock on Sunday at Bookworks in Albuquerque. Busy weekend.
Well, I'm from a little town on the border in southeast Arizona called Bisbee, and I told the publishers at Clearlight that if I'm going to make this effort, let's make it a I'm not used to sitting around doing nothing. My hands are the devil playground if I do nothing. And so we all agreed that the more I could do, the happier I'd be. And so, yay.
Well, Clear Light Publishers has published Native American Night Before Christmas. It's by Gary Robinson and illustrated by Jesse Hummingbird. And we'll see you at all your events this weekend.
Well, thank you, and everybody have a great day.
Thank you, and have a great Christmas.
Merry Christmas to everybody.
Rob DeWalt.
Hey.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's going on?
All kinds of stuff. First thing I want to mention is the November Open Studio at Santa Fe Art Institute.
Yes.
Which is on the 18th, which is a Thursday.
Yes.
Right.
This coming Thursday.
Right. 5:30 p.m. At Santa Fe Art Institute Open Studio. They got writers, painters, sculptors, poets, folks from Germany, Wyoming, New York, California, Massachusetts, Armenia. That's where you go, and it's a great, it's kind of a meet and greet thing. I love the Open Studios.
And, I know.
Yeah.
They have wonderful people there, wonderful residents from all over. And it's, as I've said before, it's always nice to see what people are doing, like what they're really thinking about and passionate about in other parts of the country, and kind of get that
right.
flavor.
Right. You get a huge cross section of artists and writers, and you actually get feedback right away, and they get feedback right away, which is, I mean, it's great for both parties involved.
Now, on Sunday, there's a poetry reading with Valerie Martinez, former poet laureate here in Santa Fe, reading her book-length poem, Each and Her, dedicated to the women of Juarez. And that is at the Mabel Dodge Lujan House Auditorium in Taos. It's free and open to the public. You can also go to ValerieMartinez.net to find out more.
This weekend is the Recycle Santa Fe Art Festival.
Yay!
Yeah. Tonight, actually, is the Recycle Trash, Fashion, and Costume Show at 7 p.m. It goes from 5 to 9 p.m. today, and then I believe it goes from on Saturday and Sunday. It goes from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. or thereabouts. It's free on Saturday and Sunday. There's a small charge on Friday, and that's from 5 to 9 p.m. Trash Fashion Show starts at 7. If you go to recyclesantafe.org, you can get more info on that.
Excellent.
Oh, and the Santa Fe Studio Tours this weekend, too.
Yes.
The annual event includes a preview party tonight from 5 to 7:30 at the Lodge at Santa Fe. That's out there on North St. Francis Drive. And the tour runs 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday and Sunday this weekend. You can get map and directions and links to artist websites at santafestudiotour.com. That's a self-guided tour, by the way.
Now, there is also the Santa Fe Waldorf School. They are having an event this weekend, let's see, on Saturday from 10 to noon. It's an open house, and if people want more information and want to find out about Waldorf School education, the number is 467-6431, santafewaldorf.org.
There's some cool openings this weekend. Santa Fe Complex has Exquisite Corpse, interactive installation, by the Technology Design Group, the Immersives, at 7 p.m. There's a cover for this, but we sort of put it under openings because it's an interactive installation, so it's Santa Fe Complex, so
yeah.
You never know what you're gonna find there. That's at 7 p.m. tonight, 632 Agua Fria Street, and then also tonight, this afternoon at Eli Levin Studio at 830 Canyon Road is Glyphs, paintings by Nicholas, I hope I'm saying this right, Gadbois.
Nick Gadbois. He is a wonderful artist.
Yeah, yeah.
He's really good.
There's a story in today's Pasatiempo, I believe by Paul Weideman, and there's a reception today from 4 to 7 p.m. That shows up through November 25th. It's really, really interesting work.
Yeah.
What else? There's Vivo Contemporary, 725 Canyon Road, Southwest, Awestruck in the Desert, mixed media work by Patty Hammerstedt, reception 5 to 7 p.m. That's through December 7th.
And let's see, what's happening at Collected Works Bookstore?
Ooh, what is happening? I don't know.
Renee Gregorio. Renee Gregorio and Tom Ireland. And they are poets. Renee Gregorio has a bunch of books of poetry. And Tom Ireland. He has a book called Mostly Mules, which is a travel journal with photos, birds of sorrow, notes from a river junction in northern New Mexico, much more. This is a Collected Works bookstore on the 14th, which is, what day is the 14th?
14th
Ladies
is Sunday.
Put the day of the weekend.
14th is Sunday.
At 4 o'clock.
Okay. I got to get this in because I wrote a small piece in the food section on Wednesday, and I forgot to mention a book signing that's a part of it. David Tanis used to live here in New Mexico, used to run the Cafe Escalera, and lived out my way out in Pecos.
Yeah.
He's a chef at Chez Panisse.
Yeah, I interviewed him. It was yesterday.
Yeah. And he's got this great book out called Heart of the Artichoke and Other Kitchen Journeys. There's a signing and tasting of dishes from the book at 6 p.m. at Garcia Street Books on Tuesday the 16th at 6 p.m. And that's over there on 376 Garcia Street. You can call 986-0151 for more information on that. I wanted to get that in there.
Now, Muchacho is a play. It's a one-woman show that's happening at 2 o'clock at the Santa Fe Playhouse this coming Sunday, the 14th of November. It's an off-the-wall production and free. Audience members are welcome to give a donation. But Muchacho, what do you know about this play?
I know nothing about this play.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a one-woman show where she portrays Eddie Corazon, who's the narrator of her novel called Muchacho. And he's a smart juvenile delinquent who is rethinking his life after being struck down by love, in his words. And his girlfriend Lupe is very smart. She plans to go to college and become a doctor. And he's got to decide what he's going to do with his life. Muchacho.
Muchacho. Muchacho. I'm going to try and go tonight. Friday, tonight at Corazon is the legendary Pink Dots. This was sort of a last-minute addition to the schedule over there at the nightclub on Guadalupe Street. Legendary Pink Dots, celebrating their 30th anniversary. You just can't define what they do. But it's sort of gothy, and it's sort of electronic-y, and it's sort of post-punky. It's all over the map. And these guys are playing at 9 p.m. tonight, actually, at Corazon. And I think, of course, you got to get tickets, but tickets are available at Candyman Strings and Things over there on St. Michael's at CorazonSantaFe.com. And you can call 983-5906 for more info on that show. I wrote about it in my Soundwaves column today. I'm really going to try and make it out if I feel up to it.
Excellent.
What else? Storyteller Joe Hayes and the annual Book Arts Flea Market is Saturday. The Palace Press and the Santa Fe Book Arts Group offer journals, rubber stamps, fabric, and other craft materials from 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at the Meme Community Room at the Mexico History Museum. You got to enter through the doors on Washington Avenue. There's no charge for it. There's storytelling from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. at the Wild at Heart Ernest Thompson Seton exhibit space at the History Museum. And that's by museum admission. And that, of course, that's again on Saturday. And Tony Hillerman's Writer's Weekend continues through Saturday or Sunday. I think it's through Saturday. Seminars, presentations, workshops, professional critiques, all that good stuff. Go to wordharvest.com. You can get more information on that.
The Sangre de Cristo's Corral's 33rd season opens with Celebrating Children, featuring John Rutter's mesmerizing Mass of the Children. It's on Sunday, the 14th of November at 2:30 at Santa Maria de la Paz Church right here in Santa Fe.
Let's see. Mr. Kali, the New Mexico Reggae Dancehall vocalist, is performing tomorrow night. And he's celebrating the release of a new CD. I saw this guy, I've seen him perform a bunch of times, but he performed with Pato Banton a year or two ago at Corazon. He's playing on Saturday night at 9 p.m. over there at Corazon. There's a small cover, but he's a local and he's great, so you should go check him out.
Excellent.
What else is going on? What else?
What else is going on? Oh, well, I've got one here. Time Enough by Robert Benjamin is a play that is being performed. Let's see, was it at Warehouse 21? It's by Robert Benjamin, who is quite a prolific playwright. It's his second career after having been a nuclear physicist at Los Alamos. Anyway, it's a late in life romance and a caregiver's journey of coping, courage, and compassion. And it's at the Desert Rose Playhouse in Albuquerque. For those of you who didn't get up to Santa Fe to see it or who missed it here, it's starting today through the 28th of November, Friday and Saturday at 8, Sundays at 4 o'clock. For reservations, call 881-0503, and that's DesertRosePlayhouse.com.
There's all kinds of booky things going on this weekend. There's Desert Academy book sale. We haven't mentioned that yet, have we?
I don't think so.
That's on Sunday the 14th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. over there at Desert Academy. There's a requested donation to enter. You can call 992-8284 for more information on that. Also this weekend is the 9th annual El Dorado Arts and Crafts Fall Show. Work by more than 50 participants, photography, ceramics, glasswork, furniture, mixed media paintings, and jewelry, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., I believe, Saturday and Sunday.
So El Dorado and Santa Fe.
Yes.
Are having their things. Don't get confused.
Yeah, well, this is at one location. This is at the El Dorado Community School. But studio tour is sort of all over the place. This is in one location.
Go
to eldoradoarts.org. You can get more info on that one. What else?
Now, Monday, this is also another Albuquerque listing at the UNM Student Building, the Sub Theater on the UNM campus, is a film called Ghost Bird. Now, Ghost Bird screened briefly here at the screen in Santa Fe.
I reviewed it.
Oh, you didn't like it?
No, it was all right.
Oh, okay. Well, I was talking to the filmmaker, and he said he only got two chilies, and therefore people didn't go see it. But I thought it was a wonderful movie. It's about a bird that had gone extinct, and then it was found in a small town in Arkansas. And it's a whole documentary about basically the meaning of extinction and habitat.
Right, and the laws regarding extinction and habitat.
Yeah.
And how murky they can be.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why I gave it two chilies, was because it's complex, you know. It's very complex, and
you need simplicity to get more than two chilies?
No, but the filmmaker made an effort to try and politicize what started as a very human story, I thought. It's still an interesting film. I just thought it sort of veered off course a few times. So.
Huh. Well, I thought it was fascinating because one of the things that fascinated me about it, and we'll get back to the calendar in a moment, was how do you know when an animal is extinct? You know, it's trying to prove a negative.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can't
and this
really,
bird, it's called Ghost Bird because it seems to have come back, but they're not really sure, and the sightings of it are never firmly established. We don't know if we still even have this beautiful creature with us, except many dead specimens in scientific laboratories.
But it sure did some good for that little town for a little while anyway.
Yeah, it did indeed.
What else is going on? Coming of Age, Dark Matter and the Days in Between. It sounds like an ominous lecture, but it's actually poetry readings by Michelle Holland and Debbie Brody.
Oh, I was just going to read that.
Oh, accompanied by guitarist Jim Harlan at 7 p.m. on Sunday. At Teatro Paraguas, 3221 Richards, is it Lane or Avenue?
Richards Lane.
Richards Lane.
It's off Richards Avenue, so it's up there behind Home Depot on one of those little side streets.
Oh, I don't think I've ever been up there.
Yeah, the first time you go, you think, where on earth is this?
Yeah.
And then after you find it, it's in one of those little business complexes that you think it's going to be a shoelace factory or something, or a sign shop or something, and there's a little theater in there. It's fantastic.
Cool.
Yep.
What else? Let's see. Cowgirl Brunch on Sunday with Bluegrass by the Family Cole. That's noon to 3 p.m. There's no cover. Later that night, there's Thunderado.
That's
Thunderado.
Good.
Thunderado. Rock Trio, 8:30 p.m. There's no cover for that also on Sunday. Wow. We can go from gospel to Thunderado.
You know you're in New Mexico.
In just a few quick hours. Let's see. Sangre de Cristo Chorale. Did we already mention that?
Yes.
We did. Okay.
The Blood of Christ Chorus.
Oh, yes. Judy Chicago.
Yes.
The artist and author is giving a PowerPoint presentation in conjunction with the release of her new book, Frida Kahlo, Face to Face, at 3:30 p.m. on Sunday at the Inn & Spot Loretto. There is a story in today's Pasatiempo on page 34. If you call 986-0151, which I believe is the number for Garcia Street Books, you can get more information on that.
Excellent.
Let's see. You ever been to one of these all-ages informal swing dances? Have you been to any of these?
I did. I went a couple of times. I took some swing dancing lessons.
I did back in the 90s.
But I felt that I was being unfaithful to my true love, salsa, so I didn't continue.
You were cheating on salsa. Well, I don't know. I've never been to one of these things, and I wonder. I should just go sometime just to see, as an observer, because I'm a horrible dancer. But I would at least go and check it out, so I would have more to say about it.
Radio. Well, they're fun. They're really fun, and if you're into that kind of dancing, then it's It's great.
I think I'm more into watching it than to actually doing it. I
mean, oh, you observer, you.
Yeah, it looks like something that I'd really get hurt doing it.
Now,
so I don't know.
We haven't mentioned yet that also at Garcia Street Books, it's a very busy week. Virginia Scharf, who has written a book called The Women Jefferson Loved. Have you heard about this?
Yes.
It's a really big deal. I wasn't able to get her on the air, but I think it's going to be a really major event. So you can also call Garcia Street Books for more information on that.
Little Wing at the Candyman.
Did I say what time that was?
No, I don't think you did.
It's Saturday at 3:30.
Saturday at 3:30. Excellent. On Wednesday the 17th, As In We, this sort of an instrumental prog sort of metal rock band, which I love, is playing with another band, Obelisk, and another band, Two Ton Strap, and a couple of other bands at Little Wing at the Candyman from 8 to 10 p.m. That's on Wednesday. There is a cover. It's an all-ages show, though, and this is a really neat spot to go and catch some music. They're doing some interesting things over there. Very varied programming. Go and check it out. The Renaissance Institute for Lifelong Learning lecture on Thursday the 18th, Behind the Scenes at the State Capitol by attorney Fred Nathan, 2 to 4 p.m. at St. John's Methodist Church.
So
no separation of church
deals
and state.
And
1200 Old Pecos Trail. There's
they have secular events at churches.
No, I know.
It's a room with walls and a ceiling.
I was making a joke.
Ah, a joke.
What else? What else is going on?
David Geist. Geist Cabaret.
Geist Cabaret.
And let's see. He's doing a recreation of the television special Liza with a Z, starring Julie Trujillo, tonight at 8:30 and tomorrow at 8 o'clock at Rainbow Visions Silver Starlight Lounge.
That's right.
You can make reservations by calling 428-7781. And good stuff coming up. And he's, of course, also at Pronzo in the Geist Cabaret Room, which is a room upstairs with a piano where you can order food and dinner and drinks and things like that. And it's great fun to go hear show tunes.
This is the last weekend for Company, too. The Stephen Sondheim musical.
Yep.
Presented by the Santa Fe Rep. It's tonight at Warehouse 21 at 8 o'clock. Saturday night, it is at 8 o'clock. And Sunday, when is it on Sunday? Let me see.
I think it's 4 in the afternoon, isn't it?
Just let me verify that.
Verify.
Yeah, 4 o'clock on Sunday.
It's verified.
That's the final performance, too. If you call 989-4423 extension 7 or go to sfrep.org and get more info on tickets and the like. Let's see, what else?
What's happening at the CCA Cinematheque?
What is happening? I don't have that. Well, let's see. I don't have that information right in front of me. I went and reviewed this great film called Inside Job that opens.
Oh, I want to see that.
Regal de Vargas.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's you know, you don't have to be a brilliant financial mind to understand it. It's the narration is kind of dull, but what you learn is pretty staggering.
One of the things that's really hard, and I've seen a lot of these documentaries. Actually, there were a couple of documentaries that we talked about on this program before the big meltdown, saying there is a coming big meltdown, and here's why. Mm-hmm. And of course, nobody believes it, and they're like, "Well, and then it happens." And then there's a bunch of documentaries, not to mention innumerable books and articles, but, you know, just some really good movies explaining this meltdown and the derivative and the morgue and all that stuff. And in a way, you're best off watching them twice.
Right.
Because, and it makes you realize that a lot of what gets attention politically in terms of people making good decisions and voting properly and stuff like that is based on what they can comprehend. And this stuff, it's so hard to comprehend that people don't know what to do.
Right.
So go see the movies and just keep watching them until you get it. That's my advice.
Right. And yeah, I watched this one twice and I was white knuckled. I was like, I just, you know, I mean, I understood to some extent what had happened, but I didn't understand just how corrupt and nasty things had gotten. So it was an eye-opener for me, anyway. And that's playing at Regal de Vargas.
There is corruption even in this fine country, believe it or not.
Yeah. CCA Cinematheque has Wasteland.
Yeah.
A garbage art documentary.
From Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah. Is it?
Well, that's what it says. Rio de Janeiro, like every megacity, produces unfathomable amounts of trash. for the growing community that lives within the city's largest dump. That flow of refuse contains untold treasures, etc. Goes on from there.
Oh, and then the screen is opening Enter the Void, which is like a psychedelic, it's a freak out. Have you heard anything about this film?
No drugs necessary.
If you have, if you've never taken drugs,
this is a good substitute.
My
Man Godfrey, a fundraiser for the New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness. That's Sunday, the 14th of November, this Sunday, at the CCA. And the film is, as it's called, still one of Hollywood's greatest triumphs. It's a classic screwball comedy that follows a young heiress who falls for a mysterious homeless man turned butler.
Homeless man turned butler?
Yeah. Anyway.
Where do I sign up?
All you have to do is go on Sunday at 7 o'clock. Go to the CCA. Oh, you want to be a homeless man turned butler?
No, I just want to be a butler.
Well, why don't you go to the movie?
Okay.
All right.
Well, let's see. Tonight at Mike's Music Exchange, Kristen Gray, Mari Sato, and Celia, all great singer-songwriters, are going to be performing at 7:30 p.m. That's out there in El Dorado, too. You get tickets are at the door, but if you go to mikesmusicexchange.com, you can find out more information. Annie continues this week at the James A. Little Theater. Pandemonium Productions presents the musical. It's really the gala opening night is tonight. I think they had a performance last week, but tonight at 7 p.m. is the opening night of that. And the first 100 kids in the door are free.
Oh. Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, who is a professor of government and public policy at the College of William & Mary, he was chief of staff under Secretary of State Colin Powell, is giving a lecture on U.S. policy towards Cuba and why it needs to be radically changed tomorrow, sponsored by the Council on International Relations, at the Forum in the College of Santa Fe University of Art and Design. And that's at 4 o'clock. And also tomorrow, Edwina Milner there's a lunch honoring Edwina Milner. We talked about this on the air yesterday, and she is a wonderful artist, art collector, patron of the arts, founder of the New Mexico Museum, the New Mexico Committee of the National Museum of Women in the Arts. That's at La Posada at noon. And Rick O'Donovan, who we talked to in the first part of the show, hammer dulcimer player and much more. Tonight at Back Road Pizza, playing music, and then tomorrow he's doing the music for a silent film, the Greta Garbo film. So the film will be screening, and he's doing the music for it. It's so cool.
That's going to be interesting.
Yep. Hey, the music is playing.
What does that mean? Does that mean it's time to go?
It's time to go. It means that Rob DeWalt is with the Pasa Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's with us here every Friday speaking of the arts. Thank you so much for coming.
Always again. A pleasure, Mary Charlotte.
Excellent. And you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. After that, jazz, and somebody just came in and handed me a flyer that says Sabor, Cuban street music, is happening at the Santa Fe Brewing Company every Thursday, starting yesterday, from 7:30 to 10:30 in the evening. You can go to santafebrewing.com, but it's good Cuban music with Victor Alvarez and Fred Simpson and a couple of other guys. Wonderful. Rob DeWalt, have a great week.
You too.
And I know you haven't been feeling so well, so feel better.
I will. Bundle up, everybody. It's going to be cold.
Bundle up. It is cold. Hasta la vista.